You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Well, this morning we spoke about the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house. I was praying, I don't know, maybe 7 weeks ago, and this wasn't on my mind at all. I was praying for the service, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want to bring breakthroughs to my people. And so I did this series, The God of the Breakthrough Wants to Visit Your House. And in Psalm 79, verse 9, it says, our hero, come and rescue us, O God of the breakthrough. For the glory of your name, come and help us. That's the Passion Translation. And the dictionary defines a breakthrough as a sudden, quick advance through an obstacle. In other words, things that are holding you back, obstacles that you're facing, a breakthrough is when all of a sudden you quickly make an advance through that. That's what a breakthrough is. And God wants to visit your house with breakthroughs. And I want to speak tonight particularly about financial breakthroughs. Is there anyone here that's trusting God or you need a financial breakthrough of some sort in your life? Wave your hand at me. Well, I've got good news for you. God wants to give you financial breakthroughs more than you want it. Many of God's people are experiencing financial famine, and it's not His will. I'm going to share with you three keys tonight to come out of a financial famine. And we are going to look once again at 1 Kings chapter 17. Pastor Joshua mentioned it. If you didn't get it the first time, you're going to get it another time. In 1 Kings 17, there was a famine in the land because of King Ahab's wickedness. God sent Elijah the prophet, tell King Ahab there's going to be no rain for 3.5 years until you say so. And if there's no rain, there's no crops, there's no food. There's a famine. And so God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith because God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you, which is pretty incredible. It says that the ravens would bring him bread and meat every morning and bread and meat every evening. Hamburger for breakfast. Isn't that bread and meat? Hamburger for lunch. Which is quite amazing because a raven is the last bird that would ever share its food. And that's what God chose to use. But after a while, the Bible says the brook dried up. That season was over. You know, sometimes God provides for you in a certain way, and sometimes the brook dries up. But don't be concerned, God's got another way. Don't limit God. If He did it this way, that's the way He's always going to do it. Amen? I've learned I do not look to people to provide. I do not look to the members. Now, the members in our church, we teach tithing, we teach giving, but I have found that God can use anybody. We had one lady last month gave $20,000 to our church. I'd never met her. She'd never been to our church, and she just kept giving, $3,000, $2,000, $4,000. I looked, it was $20,000. God's not limited. Amen. Amen? So the brook dries up, so God speaks to Elijah in 1 Kings 17, verse 8. It says, the word of the Lord came to him and said, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded. Say, I have commanded. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, and she was gathering sticks. And he called to her, and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, obviously, this woman needed a breakthrough. Would you agree? She's down to her last meal. And notice how Elijah responded. He didn't say, oh, I didn't realize that. No, don't worry about what I said. He said, do not fear. Major key to see God provide for you. Do not allow fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Say first. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Now, was Elijah not listening to what this woman said? She already told him she only had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil to make a small cake for herself and her son, and then they're going to eat it and die. And Elijah says, first, make me a cake. Now, if the news media had been there, thank God they weren't, you can imagine what their breaking news would have been. Breaking news, preacher cons widow out of her last meal. Because I've had people tell me, you know, when we started our church in Steinberg in 91, and where the church was located, there were a lot of people lower income. And I would have some wealthier people in the church would tell me, Pastor Steve, you can't preach about giving. These people are poor. I'm like, how are they ever going to come out of poverty if you don't preach about giving? And I started preaching, and we saw people rise up. We saw people start their own businesses. We saw people get blessed and prosper. Because let me tell you, this gospel will work for anybody. It'll work whosoever. Amen? But God sent Elijah to this woman, and he told him that he had commanded her to provide for him. But can I tell you, not only did God want and intend for the widow to provide for Elijah, the reason God sent Elijah, he wanted to provide for the widow. In fact, Jesus spoke about this. Think about that. This is so significant that Jesus spoke about it. In Luke chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus said, certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Now, God could have sent Elijah to a wealthy person. Why didn't God send Elijah to a multimillionaire to provide for him? Because God wanted to provide for the widow. She wasn't even Jewish, and God wanted to provide for her. In verse 14, Elijah responds when she says, I've only got a little flour, a little bit of oil. He says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did. She went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. In other words, that oil and that flour kept supernaturally being replenished for 3.5 years. Now, there's three keys in this story that I want to share with you. Number one, there must be a prophetic word from God. If you need a breakthrough in your life, if you need financial, if you need deliverance from financial famine, then you need a prophetic word from God. It's called a rhema word from God. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that term, faith comes by hearing the word of God, that in the Greek is the word rhema. And what it means is a spoken word from God to you. It's when God speaks a word to you. You might be reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you read a scripture you've read 100 times, and it jumps out the page, and God speaks to you. That's a rhema. Or you might be sitting in the service tonight, and all of a sudden God speaks a word to you. That's a rhema word from God. The word of God comes alive in your heart. In other words, it's a special word from God to you that will cause faith to rise in your heart and that will change your circumstance. That's why when you are in an impossible looking situation, you need to spend quality time with God. You need to seek the Lord and get the word of the Lord. That's what I've learned to do in my life. I've been in the ministry since I was 20 years old, and I just turned 60. So 40 years I've been in the ministry, and I've learned that when I'm facing something impossible and it looks like there is no way out, that's my cue. I need to go spend quality time in the presence of God and get the word of the Lord for me and wait on Him. And once I receive the word of the Lord, then I make that my priority and my final authority. I hold on to that word. It brings faith in my heart. This widow had a prophetic word from God given to her from Elijah. He told her, go make a cake for me first, for thus says the Lord, the bin of flour shall not be used up, the oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And so she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she had a major breakthrough. God delivered her from financial famine, even though the famine lasted for 3.5 years. And I want to tell you that if God can do it for her, God can do it for you, because He is not a respecter of persons. God shows no favoritism. If you will trust Him and obey Him, He'll do it for you as well. There must be a prophetic word from the Lord. I am giving you that prophetic word right now. I am telling you, the Lord told me to tell you that He wants to visit your house with financial breakthroughs before the year is out. That's a prophetic word from God to you. Now, if you're willing to follow these three keys, then you will experience a breakthrough. I am expecting to hear amazing testimonies from this day. I am expecting you to contact the church or send me a message on Facebook and say, Pastor Steve, remember that word you preached about the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house? I got to tell you what the Lord did for me. I'm expecting to hear hundreds and hundreds of testimonies from this church. You know why? Because God confirms His word with signs following. Now, my son Luke and Francesca, his wife, they just experienced an amazing financial breakthrough. They live in Miami, and they've been renting a house, and they've been trusting God to be able to buy their own house. But in Miami, a three-bedroom home, nothing fancy, a three-bedroom home, like 200 square meters, will cost you $1 million. Not a new home, a home that even needs some renovating, will cost you $1 million. And not only that, but because the house market is so competitive, they went to look at, when a house would come on the market, they went to look at the open house, is that what you call it here? Show house, and there would be 19 cash offers above the asking price. So let's say someone's asking $1 million. They'd get 19 offers, 1.1 million, 1.2 million, 1.3 million, cash offers. They'd pay more than the house is worth. And they found that happen a number of times. But they've been trusting God and standing in faith. And so just in January, the house where they've been renting, which is 1,300 square feet, it's about 130 square meters. The owner of the property let them know that, gave them notice because they wanted the house back, they want to use it for some other purpose, so they had to find somewhere else to live. And they really, it was their desire to buy a home. But they didn't see how that was going to be possible. God can do more than you can even imagine. So, correct me if I say anything wrong here, but his wife Francesca is a realtor. And so she was aware a house that was coming, it was on the market, they were going to have an open house that weekend. So before the weekend, they raced over there to see the house and they just fell in love with it. This is just as everything they needed. And they noticed in the house, there was a lot of Christian pictures and they could tell this is a Christian's living here. And so they submitted an offer, what the full price offer, but they attached a letter to the offer, letting them, the owner, know that they are Christians, Luke's a pastor, their children attend the Christian school, which is 4 minutes from the house. And they just put this letter and they prayed that God would just give them favor with the owner. To the surprise, the owner accepted their offer and canceled the open house. And the owner sent this letter. I'm going to read you the letter that the owner sent to them. This, I'm reading it word for word. Thank you for your kind letter. I wanted to take a minute to write back because I wanted to share something with you. I have been praying for a long time for guidance with this house. It was not my intention to even sell this house because I wasn't sure where God was leading me, and I'm a full-time caregiver for my elderly mother. I didn't have peace with moving her out of the only home that she's known at this fragile age. I think they've lived in the home for how long? 40 years they've lived in this house. I prayed for months for guidance. I prayed this home would be a blessing and a testimony. And when I listed the home, my prayer was very specific, that this house would continue to serve the Lord. Amen. I want you to know, now listen to this. I want you to know that your family are an answered prayer to me. I will continue to keep you and your family in our prayers, and I pray for a smooth transition for all of us. Now, in the United States, when you buy a home, when you make an offer, then you have a week to inspect the home and to see if there's anything that needs to be repaired. They came to find that the house needed a new roof, and needed a new air conditioning, and needed a new septic tank, and needed some wiring. It was going to cost $40,000 to do the repairs. So they asked if they could get a $40,000 reduction in the price. Now, let me tell you, this lady, if she'd had the open house, could have probably sold the home for $1 million. And they didn't expect that they'd get the $40,000, but there's no harm in asking. So they asked for $40,000 to reduce the price to do the repairs. The realtor recommended to the owner that she would agree to $16,000. But the owner said, let me go pray about it. And after praying for a day, the owner came back and said, the Lord told me to give you the 40,000. So they got all the money to put on a brand new roof, brand new AC, brand new septic, brand new wiring, all of that. Praise God. That's called a breakthrough, a financial breakthrough. The God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house with financial breakthroughs. This is a prophetic word to you. Shout it out. The God of the breakthrough wants to visit my house. Number two, you have to be willing to obey that prophetic word. The widow received a prophetic word and she went and she did it. And because she was willing to obey it, she had a breakthrough. She obeyed even though it seemed impossible. The prophet said, make me a cake first, because here's what the Lord says. The flour's not going to run out. The oil's not going to run out. That's impossible. It seemed impossible. Obedience is a must for miraculous things to take place. If you want to see miraculous things, you have to be willing to obey. Even if your mind cannot grasp it, even if it's utterly impossible in your thinking, you have to be willing to obey. Do not make excuses why you can't do what God is telling you to do. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now that same scripture in the Living Bible, it says it like this. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, I will make you rich. Can I tell you, God wants you to be rich. I'm not saying everybody's going to be a multimillionaire. Being rich means you have everything you need and more left over to be a blessing. That's what God wants, that you have all your needs supplied and you're able to be a blessing. That's what it means to be rich. Job 36 verse 11, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. Psalm 128 verse 1, blessings on all who reverence and trust the Lord, on all who obey Him, their reward will be prosperity. Someone said, I don't believe in that prosperity gospel. You don't believe the Bible? Because the Bible says that when you obey God, the reward is prosperity. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey. Say obey. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Someone said, Pastor Steve, those are all Old Testament scriptures. Does the New Testament talk about obedience? Yes. Jesus, in John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. He said in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? In Hebrews 5, verse 9, the Bible says Jesus became, we got that one? Hebrews 5, 9. Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. The Bible says Jesus is the giver of eternal salvation, not to all those who believe Him, to those who obey Him. Now, some people think that they can be saved and go to heaven just because they believe in Jesus. That's not what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19. Do we have this scripture come up? There you go. James 2, verse 19. Look at this. The Living Bible. Are there still some among you who hold that only believing is enough? Believing in one God. Well, remember that the demons believe this too. So strongly they tremble in terror. Fool, when will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to do? Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. How many people say, all you got to do is believe? All you got to do is believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. In Romans 10, verse 9, a scripture we all know well, it says, if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you believe in your own heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, the key to be saved is Jesus must be your Lord. What does Lord mean? The dictionary says that the word Lord is one who has authority, control, or power over others, acting as a master and a ruler. You see, when Jesus is Lord, he's in control of your life. He's your master, and he has control and authority over your life. That's what it means to make Jesus Lord. And the problem is, a lot of people want Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want him as their Lord. Now, I'm going home in a few days, so you can get upset with me, but I would rather tell you the truth and provoke you then sit up here and say, all you're going to do is believe. Churches in America, you just got to believe the grace of God. That is not what the scriptures teach. Just believing in Jesus does not get you to heaven. You must make him your Lord, which means you must obey him. And if you are not willing to obey Jesus as your Lord, then you cannot be saved. When Jesus is your Lord, you're willing to obey whatever he says. And let me tell you, if you want God to give you financial breakthroughs, you must be willing to do whatever he tells you to do. You cannot disobey God by refusing to tithe and then ask him to give you financial breakthroughs. In fact, the reason that you're in financial famine could very well be because you're refusing to tithe. I started tithing when I was 17 years old. I didn't finish high school. I dropped out in 11th grade. I said to my dad, I want to drop out of school. He said, well, you got to get a job. I got a job working at the bank, Barclays Bank, 1981. My starting salary was 450 rand a month. And I started tithing, 45 rand. And can I tell you, within 18 months, I was making 2,000 rand a month. Now, in 1982... 2,000 rand was a pretty good salary, and God has just continued to bless me beyond what I would have ever imagined. And it started by being willing to obey God and tithing. Remember Jesus' first miracle when he turned the water into wine. But what preceded the miracle? Well, in John 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Tell your neighbor, whatever he says to you to do, do it. And what happened when they did what Jesus said? Because they came to him and they said, you know, we ran out of wine. And he said, well, go fill the water pots with water. There were 6 water pots, 120 gallons in each one, 120 gallons. And they filled them up, that's 480 liters. And when they came and poured it out, it was turned into wine. And the master of the feast said, this is the best wine I've ever tasted, 480 liters of wine. I won't even go any further than that. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Do it quickly, do it without complaint, do it without hesitation. Do it without argument. Be willing to do whatever God says, because if you're willing to do whatever God says, you set yourself up for a major breakthrough in your life. Number one, must have a prophetic word. I'm giving you one right now. Number two, you must be willing to obey whatever God tells you to do. And number three, obedience will require sowing a significant seed. I have never known a financial breakthrough without being willing to sow a significant seed. Usually, it's a significant seed like the widow did. It was something that meant something to her. It was her last meal. Would you say that's significant? It was something of value to her. You see, if it's not of value to you, then it's not of value to God. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, the king said to Araunah, "No, I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. The man was going to give it to him. He said, "No, no, no. I will not offer something to God that doesn't cost me something. I will not offer to God something that is not significant to me." You see, because the widow was willing to give up the flour and the oil, she planned to use it for a cake for herself and her son. Because she was willing to sow that into the prophet's life, that became her significant seed. And as a result of her obedience to sow the significant seed, the breakthrough came. Did she experience a financial breakthrough? Will you experience a financial breakthrough? Yes, you will. If you're willing to follow these three steps, be willing to sow a significant seed, proving that you really believe the God of the breakthrough is going to visit your house. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 1, I want to read this from the Passion Bible. It says, "Actually, there's no need to write to you about the contribution for the holy believers in Jerusalem, for I already know that you are on board and eager to help. I keep boasting to the churches in Macedonia about your passion to give, telling them that the believers in Corinth have been preparing to give for a year." Imagine preparing what you're going to give to the celebration 1 year ago. You should be preparing now what you're going to give next year for celebration. "Your enthusiasm is contagious. It has stirred many of them to do likewise. Still, I thought it would be best to send these brothers to receive the offering that you've prepared so that our boasting about how you were ready to give would not be found hollow. For if after boasting of our confidence in you, some of the Macedonians were to come with me and find that you were not prepared, we would be embarrassed, to say nothing of you. That's why I've requested that the brothers come before I do and make arrangements in advance for the substantial offering." Say substantial offering that you pledged. "Then it will be seen as a matter of generosity, not under pressure, as something you felt forced to do." Now, please understand, nobody here is under any pressure. There is no pressure for you to do anything other than doing what God tells you to do. Here's my point, verse 6. Here's my point. A stingy sower, say sower, will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. You want a small harvest or a big harvest? Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready. Say, God is more than ready. God is more than ready. He's not just ready, He's more than ready. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace, so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance. That's what God wants for you, to overflow, to have more than enough for everything in every moment. Just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in Him. Notice this. Because he's sown extravagantly. Because he's sown extravagantly, because he's sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed to the farmer which becomes bread for our meals, He is even more extravagant to you. Because you sow extravagantly, God will be even more extravagant to you. First, He supplies every need, plus more. Then He multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. Now notice, God overwhelming you, God overflowing you with abundance, so that you always have more than you need. God being extravagant to you is connected to your extravagant sowing. Say amen, somebody. Say this, say, God overflowing me with abundance is connected to me sowing extravagantly. See, it's been said this week, sowing and reaping is a divine law. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In the Passion Translation, it says, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed you planted. Don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Harvest is coming. Breakthrough is coming. Overflow is coming. Amen. But we have to be seed-minded instead of need-minded. You see, very often we are need-minded. We're always talking about what we need. Well, I need this and I need that and I need this. If you study the Bible, you'll find out God is not need-minded. God is seed-minded. Every time you go to God about a need in your life, He will respond by talking about a seed you need to sow. I remember, you all know Dr. Jerry Savelle. He's been to the church here. Does anyone know Dr. Jerry Savelle is? He's real close friends with Kenneth Copeland. And Jerry Savelle told this story. He's preached at our church many times. And he told this story about one time in his ministry when he had a need. He needed $30,000 to finish this project. Now, we're going back many years. It was $30,000 was a lot of money 30 years ago. And he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, I need $30,000 to do this. And the Lord responded by saying, Jerry, you know, next week, when you go preaching, you're preaching at that minister's conference. He said, yes, Lord. He said, there's going to be five ministers there who are very discouraged. I want you to call them up. I want you to give them the word of the Lord. And I want you to give them each one of your suits. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. He said, now, Lord, about that $30,000 that I need. The Lord said, now, when you go to that meeting, that minister's meeting, there's going to be a couple. They have a ministry of feeding the poor, and they need a van. You just got a new van. I want you to give them your van. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Now, Lord, about that $30,000 that I need. The Lord said, also, when you're in that meeting, I want you to take your briefcase, and I want you to put $500 in cash. Because there's going to be a man there that I want you to give it to. He said, okay, Lord. And then he stopped. He said, Lord, I'm not talking to you anymore. Because, Lord, every time I talk to you about my need, you talk to me about sowing a seed. I'm not talking to you anymore. And the Lord said, Jerry, that's because you're need-minded and I'm seed-minded. So he did everything the Lord said. 2 weeks later, he's preaching with Kenneth Copeland in another place. And he is at the hotel. He gets in the elevator. And as the doors are about to close, a hand comes through the elevator door to try and stop it. So Jerry Savelle, he pushes the button to keep the door open. And a lady steps inside She's in her 30s. She's in a jogging suit. She doesn't look like she just came from the meeting. It doesn't even look like she's part of it. And she just says, thank you for holding the door. And then gets to her floor and she says, Brother Jerry, the Lord told me this was going to happen. And she pulls out of her jogging suit an envelope and she gives it to him. And then she exits and he opens the envelope and guess what's inside? A check for $30,000. You got to become seed-minded and not just need-minded. Are you catching this today? Let me tell you, your pastor, Apostle Alan and his wife Janine, are some of the most seed-minded people I ever met in my life. And if you want to know why he's so blessed, it's because they sow seed even when they were in great need themselves. Now, I told you about my son, Luke, and his wife, and the breakthrough they had with the house. But here's what I didn't tell you. Just the year before, at their church, every year they do what is called a bricklayer's offering. It's like a special offering once a year, over and above your tithe. They're already tithers. I taught them tithing when they were this big. When they would get their pocket money, we would teach them, now here's your 10 rand pocket money. Take 1 rand and go to church and tithe. So they are tithers, but this is something above that. And they decided that they were going to sow a significant seed in the bricklayer's offering. And I don't know how much it was, you never told me, but what I do know, their church is about 8,000 people. 10,000? How many did you have on Easter? They had 13,000 people on Easter in 14 services. Their seed was so significant, it was in the top 10. So I don't know how much it was, but it was significant. Do you think that that seed has anything to do with them seeing their financial breakthrough? Do you think that's got anything to do with the miracle that God did? It's got everything in the world to do. Did they pray? Yes. Did they trust God? Yes. Did they fast? Yes. But they didn't just do that. They sowed a significant seed and they saw a financial breakthrough. Some of you right now, you are asking the question, what do I need to do to see a breakthrough in my life? Here's your answer. Receive this prophetic word. Be willing to obey whatever God tells you and sow a significant seed. And by significant, I mean that it's valuable to you, that it means something to you. And that's different for everybody. You have to pray and ask the Lord what that seed is. Now, you might have already sown the seed during celebration. I know a lot of people that sowed as a seed in celebration. And so if you did, then just keep trusting God for that breakthrough. But if you haven't yet sown a significant seed, tonight is your opportunity. Tonight, you want to see financial? If I say, how many want financial breakthrough? Let's see your hands. Everybody put their hand. How many want to sow a significant seed? They go together. They go together. Amen. Let me tell you, Jill and I, we want to sow into the Bay Christian Family Church. We're going to sow 1,000 rand for every year that the church has been going. So we're going to sow 30,000 rand into the Bay tonight. I wish it was 30 million. And maybe it'll be that one day. Once you've applied all three of these keys, you receive the prophetic word, you're willing to obey whatever God tells you, and you're willing to sow a significant seed, you just positioned yourself for a major breakthrough. So you got to shout and praise God. Get ready for the God of the breakthrough to visit your house. I said, get ready for the God of the breakthrough to visit your house. Get ready. Say, the God of the breakthrough will visit my house in the name of Jesus. I want to pray right now. Lift your hand. If you're trusting God for a financial breakthrough in your life, I want you to lift your hand up right now because I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. I have spoken your word as you told me. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God of the breakthrough. I thank you that you want to visit your people. You want to bring financial breakthroughs into your people's lives, Lord, even more than they want it. So right now, I release breakthroughs in this house. I declare breakthroughs coming to your house. I thank you, Lord, for financial, supernatural breakthroughs above and beyond what we could even imagine. In the name of Jesus, I declare breakthrough is coming to your house in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen. Give God a shout of praise. Come on, give Him shout of praise like it's already happened. Shout of praise like you already got it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God of the breakthrough is going to visit my house. Financial breakthrough is coming my way. I'm going to give God all the glory. I'm going to give God all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.